Good morning. Thank you, Joe. So, I'm not superstitious, but we are on the 13th floor on Friday the 13th. So, it is great to be here today with so many friends and be back home in St. Louis. But before I begin with my remarks, I just wanted to make a comment about something that I think is particularly important. You know, there are times in politics, as much as all of us like to plan and script things, that can't be planned, they can't be scripted in terms of what happens. And losing our state auditor, Tom Schweik, is exactly one of those moments. This story, as it morphs from a story about somebody's life to one about politics, I think it's all important for all of us to think about just briefly for a moment, Tom, in a slightly different way. Yes, he was obviously a fiercely independent auditor who had an opinion about nearly every part of state government, including my own office, and was always willing to share those. But in talking with Tom, I also think about his son, Thomas, who he took to a Rolling Stones concert a few years ago in Chicago. Tom sprung for good seats and talked about what a great time they had. And he turned around and asked me, he said, am I a Stones fan? And I said, of course, yes, but I don't think he really believed me because I couldn't name all of my favorite albums, nor did I know what years they were released. And I think of his daughter, Emily, who expressed excitement. He expressed excitement about as she began her student teaching in Clayton after I visited them as his inauguration reception. And I think, obviously, first about his wife, Kathy, who he's known since the seventh grade. So as this media coverage regarding Tom Schweik dies down, I ask each of you to please keep him and their family in your thoughts. Reach out where practical. Send a note. I think it's often those times after things die down that is hardest for those families. So it's important, and I appreciate you being with me for that for just a moment. It's been an honor to serve as Missouri's CFO for the last 6 years. I have great satisfaction from the core elements of what I do on a day-to-day basis. I protect and invest a $3.5 billion portfolio, manage our state's banking system, help families save for college. We've worked to transform our state small business loan program. By the way, when we came into office, about $1 million was lent out in our state small business loan program in the St. Louis region. Now we have well over $100 million just in the last 6 years, so that's a huge increase, obviously, and something we're excited about. Helped even a few of you I know in this room find their unclaimed property, which, so you admit it, you did lose your money. But so my job really in so many ways touches every part of state government and is part of the mechanics of making things happen. But I also think it's important as an elected official that elected office is more than simply winning elections, and it's simply also more than simply just performing those core functions that we talked about. It's really about making politics at its best the art of the possible, setting the stage for actually getting things done for effective governance. And Joe told you that story, but when Joe and I talked on August 19th, we had a pretty simple idea. And the idea was simply that we would just go out, knock on doors of small businesses, and really just stop and listen. And we did that day. And it's important to remember that those were listening sessions that weren't happening in this room or another boardroom somewhere in St. Louis. They were happening behind cash registers while they were trying to clean up, while they were trying to serve customers. And within 4 days of that experience, we actually had put something together. And that was actually a loan program, as he talked about, $1 million, that was really created not just because of my efforts or Joe's efforts, but because of a combination of individuals that really stepped up and were willing to invest part of a Saturday visiting with real people who are dealing with real problems here and now. By no means does that loan fund make all of our civic and regional problems go away. It just touched a small part. But it does bring out some really important lessons, I think, for all of us to consider when making government work and being part of something bigger than just ourselves. You know, collaboration is generally one of my least favorite words, right? Usually collaboration means that nobody really owns responsibility for anything, right? But I think in this case, collaboration actually is exactly responsible for making that loan program happen. If you look at it, our partners, we had community banks involved, we had the St. Louis Chamber involved, we had the St. Louis Partnership, we had the state. Frankly, we all were also inspired by the work that RBC had done before that. It took every one of those partners, and I can tell you with absolute confidence that that loan program at that point in time would not have happened if it were not for everybody playing a role. But the other important lesson from that relatively small experience is one about state government in general, and that's that it has to be more flexible, and that it has to be a little less flat-footed when it comes to decision-making, and that we actually have to inject more human decision-making into the context of making state government happen. That when we elect people, that they have to be in a position where they're actually making human judgments to actually get things done, because not every problem, not every opportunity, not every solution that we have is going to fall into a box that's pre-prescribed. And I think so often in state government, that's one of the traps that we fall into, is we don't have folks that are actually making decisions. That flexibility, I really believe, is the key for us to be able to compete. We began to do some of that, I think, take a very active approach in that with the Missouri Housing Development Commission, which ties in a very direct way to Ferguson. We all know, and there's been decades of study that have told us, that the effects of poverty are made greatly worse as low-income housing density increases. I mean, that's a fact, and that's been studied now for decades. So I've pushed the commission to incorporate a density analysis into every housing decision that it actually makes, to make sure that we're thinking and acting as regional decision makers, and that these development decisions aren't actually just happening in a vacuum. Secondly, we've asked also for a quality of life study that has been completed of residents in really the three complexes, including Canfield Green, to identify gaps in services and where we as a state can provide a helpful role. Not necessarily spending more money, but actually just better coordinating the existing resources that are already in place. Knowing those results now, we're able to work to reorganize some of that existing infrastructure, make it more intensive, encourage more private partnerships with not-for-profits so that those individuals living in communities like Canfield Green can be better served in a more efficient way. You know, I think those are all examples that regardless of what party we come from, whether you're Republican, Democrat, or I'm tired of both of you at this point, that the work we do does actually matter, and it sets a foundation for all of us to be able to work from. And I think we need that foundation more than ever for each of us. I think about the experience that Janice and I had attending UMSL, first persons in our family both to go to college. That opportunity that we had didn't happen by accident. And it makes a nice storyline for me to say that it was because of all my hard work, and I won't let Karen talk about my academic record necessarily, but the truth is that's not enough. You can look at every part of state government and see that change was brought about because citizens stood up and demanded it, whether it was in mental health, whether it was with our community college program, whether it was land-grant universities. Those are all clear examples where it was citizens coming together to make a difference. It wasn't just institutions standing up. Missouri is at a place, I believe, right now where we have an opportunity, but also a challenge, where we need big ideas, where we need to be able to talk about things that actually matter. And if you look at the future of our state, I think there's three key areas that are pretty clear and incumbent upon all of us, regardless of our political persuasion, that matter. First of all, we need to retool and really redevelop our K-12 education system, making sure, obviously, that it focuses on achieving excellence, but also helping provide some flexibility to hire the best and recruit and train the best teachers, making sure that everyone is at the table when we have these conversations, right? Education policy can't be accomplished by just doing a bunch of one-offs and ballot initiatives. It has to be a true joint effort where everyone is at the table having that conversation. Secondly, on transportation, there is some exciting work, obviously, that many of you know that's being done here in St. Louis in terms of freight right now. You know, these are the sorts of projects where not only do we need to fund highways, air and rail and all of those pieces, when Missouri is in the middle of the United States, it's critical we do those things. But we also have some micro efforts that could be critical, for example, providing new infrastructure and jobs for literally thousands, tens of thousands of individuals in this region and capitalizing on really some opportunities for growth in the freight industry. And then finally, making sure that we do everything in higher education, not only to focus on research and teaching and economic development, to make sure that we're also capturing a path for first-generation college students to attend college. And in that vein, I've been working on something called Missouri Promise. The idea behind it is fairly simple. You work hard, you give back to your community, your state will invest in your future. that higher education should not be a dream that's out of reach, but a promise to families who work hard but are still struggling to find ways to make college a possibility, a promise to students that are willing to work hard and get good grades, but have given the time but may not have the funds to get the degree that they need, and a promise to employers especially that Missouri recognizes the need for a high-quality workforce and is willing to make the long-term investments necessary to provide it. Now, Missouri Promise actually puts those mechanisms in place to encourage degree attainment. It capitalizes on higher education as one of the most valuable tools that we have for growth in the state of Missouri, economic and otherwise, all around our state. We face a whole wide range of questions and challenges as a region, but by coming together, by listening, by putting the right people together from all segments of industry, we can actually solve those problems. As I said before, I really believe that politics at its best just isn't a dirty word, that it actually is the art of the possible. It's finding ways to set the foundation for having the right conversations in this state. I know each of you invested a tremendous amount of time and energy in this region in both big and small ways. And I speak to you directly just to ensure that you understand that I know that the investments you make are making matter, that they do make a difference, and that they're serving as an inspiration to all of us around this state to continue to invest in our own way. So thank you for having me here. It's great to be with friends today.